Blog Talk Radio.
After years of blood, sweat, and tears, it all comes down to this.
Draft Weekend Odine. To celebrate this year's Gridiron Draft, the Fantasy Sports Channel is rushing more than 24 hours of live draft action your way.
And we're the only place on the planet to do it with a fantasy football twist.
Excitement begins Saturday, April 25th at 10 a.m. Eastern with 14 continuous hours of nonstop draft day coverage, plus another live draft block beginning Sunday at 11 a.m. Eastern. The Fantasy Sports Channel. Only on Blog Talk Radio.
It's a schedule you can bet on.
Ladies, if your boyfriend isn't listening to B-Spec,
Brian Spector,
then reach over, grab his knob, and turn it up.
We ready! We ready! We ready!
Football fans, it's that time. The NFL Spectacular with Big Spec, Brian Spector.
You know Big Papi.
If you want to get in on the show, then dial 347-945-6275. Or, for all you computer nerds, you can go online at NFLDraftBible.com.
Spector always delivers what he promises.
He's your resident football expert.
Are you serious? Malin couldn't hit water if he fell out of a boat.
He's the king of the combine.
The guy runs the 40-yard dash in 4 forever.
He's the voice of the angry fan.
If that happens, I might as well go hang myself with wax dental floss.
He's B-Spec, Brian Spector.
Yes! Yes! Oh, yes!
I'm absolutely, without a doubt, a true believer.
And he's on right now on the All Access Football Network.
Shut your pie hole! We're working here!
Let's get ready to rumble!
Oh yeah, the NFL draft is one day away. Is everybody feeling the hype? Are you feeling the excitement? Matt Stafford and his camp agent Tom Condon negotiating with the Detroit Lions. Folks, let's not kid ourselves. Matthew Stafford is given the number one pick in this draft. A deal will get worked out before today is over, in my opinion. And what's funny is last year, Tom Condon got Matt Ryan, the third overall pick, $34 million and change guaranteed. The Miami Dolphins and their number one overall pick, Jake Long, $30 million guaranteed. So don't think if the Lions aren't going to get Stafford the price they want, that Tom Condon isn't negotiating with the Rams and other potential teams that are picking at 2, 3, 4, and 5 if he knows he can get more guaranteed money than the Detroit Lions. Now it is the infamous poker game. Money, playing your cards right, playing your chips, where your chips going to fall, watching each team to see what they're going to do. Players are going to get traded. Brady Quinn, he could be out of Cleveland. Braylon Edwards talks between Cleveland and the Giants, supposedly dead. A couple of sources have told me that Cleveland wasn't impressed with Braylon Edwards in their one-on-one meeting. He seemed a little bit of a prima donna, I'm better than everybody kind of attitude. And then there are other people in the organization that says, wait a minute, that's not true. Will Cleveland take Michael Crabtree and then trade Braylon Edwards? Or will Cleveland possibly go B.J. Raji, another linebacker, and pass on Crabtree? How low will Crabtree fall due to the potential prima donna attitude and the foot injury? Mark Sanchez, the Mark Sanchez sweepstakes. Jets are interested. Denver's interested. Jacksonville's interested, but Seattle might say at 4. I don't give a damn who's interested. We're going to take him at 4. Hasselbeck's 34 years old, has some back trouble. A lot could possibly happen, folks. Tony Gonzalez just gets his wish, gets traded from the Kansas City Chiefs to the Atlanta Falcons.
pretty exciting to see what Matt Ryan and Tony Gonzalez can do together in Atlanta. Tony Gonzalez, a little bit up there in age, does have 900 and some career receptions, though. I don't care how old you are for Tony Gonzalez. He's not showing signs of slowing down. Second-round pick in 2010. Atlanta gets a player. They think can play at a high level over the 4 years. Give a second-round pick next year. No injury concerns for Tony Gonzalez. Keeps himself in incredible shape. And is still going out and catching for 1,000 yards. Personally, I'm not a big fan of trading draft picks for veterans over the age of 30. If Atlanta feels he can help them right now and he can put them over the hump in the NFC South and a Super Bowl contender, why not? You're not giving up a pick this year. You're still going to stockpile this year. You're giving up one pick next year. And knowing Thomas Dimitroff and the Atlanta Falcons organization, Thomas Dimitroff comes from that New England mold. He will find a way to add draft picks. Scott Pioli, a former New England executive, adds draft picks. He added a draft pick in 2010. And Scott Pioli would love to get out of the number three spot. Kansas City's not going to want to pay $27, $28 million guaranteed money to a guy that hasn't done anything. To a guy that hasn't proven a lick at the NFL level. And that goes back to all these players, folks. Does the NFL need a rookie salary cap? Yes, it does. Can Kansas City trade out of the number three spot? I'm thinking Kansas City's going to take Aaron Curry. There's no way they're going to get out of the three spot. The other day, Justin Van Fulpen on, and he gave a little bit of some pretty interesting insight. Kansas City needs offensive line help. Can they potentially grab one of those left tackles, whether it's Jason Smith-Wyatt going two to St. Louis or Eugene Monroe at number three? Then Seattle at four will definitely take Mark Sanchez because Seattle covets one of those offensive tackles, if not Sanchez. If that happens and the two offensive tackles and Jason Smith, Eugene Monroe go two and three and Seattle grabs Sanchez at number four, wow. You're going to have a lot of teams scratching their heads trying to figure out what their next move is going to be. Another potential pick, Tyson Jackson out of LSU, maybe going number three overall to Kansas City. I don't see that happening at all. I love Tyson Jackson. You have to think, if Tyson Jackson is going to play defensive end in a 3-4, a defensive end in a 3-4 isn't a guy that's going to go out there and get you 10, 15 sacks. How about the MO of a 3-4 defensive end? Take up blocks, let your linebackers roam free. Are you going to give $27, $28 million in guaranteed money to a 3-4 defensive end who's maybe going to get five or six sacks and just take up blocks? That's a big investment if you're Kansas City, if that's what they're thinking. Still have Glenn Dorsey, you have Tamba Ali. Tamba Ali's a 4-3 guy. Dorsey's a 4-3. You have to think what Pioli's going to do when he sits down with his brain trust and head coach Todd Haley, defense coordinator Clancy Pendergast. What are they going to do? They have a lot of 4-3 personnel on that team. Do you trade some of these young guys? Get some more picks? Or do you maximize their talent? Try to fit them into your system, fit them what they're able to do on the football field. New York Jets are in love with Mark Sanchez. Wow, why are we not surprised? And I don't want anybody to call me and say Matt Stafford should not be the number one pick. Mark Sanchez is not a better quarterback than Matt Stafford. I like Sanchez as a one-year starter. Matt Stafford has done it for 3 years in the SE freaking C. Facing six defense, face six defensive teams in the top 30 in Division I college football. Stafford and Sanchez had similar numbers. Stafford had 25 touchdowns, 10 interceptions in that realm in the SEC. Takes more than one player to win a football game, folks. Takes more than one player to win a football game. Let's just remember that. We'll pause, take a quick break. We'll be back on the other side. Talk to you more about why Matt Stafford's going to go number one. Other potential trades. What you going to do? You want to get on the show? Give me a call. 347-945-6275. You want to know what your team is going to do? You want my opinion? The NFL draft is one day away. Another edition of the NFL Spectacular on B-Spec Brian Spector, taking you the next 48 minutes until 6 o'clock. Any draft questions, give me a call. 347-945-6275. We'll take a quick pause. We'll be right back. We'll get more into the draft, more into potential trades, talk a little bit around what's going on in the NFL here on the All Access Football Network. And the time is 5:12.
More live fantasy sports radio than anyone on the planet. Seven continuous hours of football, baseball, basketball, and hockey action each Monday through Friday. Plus 7 hours of game day frenzy on Sunday. 30 shows in all from the best fantasy sportscasters in the business, like Craig Davis of FantasyFootball.com, the Audible Cecil Lammy, Paul Greco of Melnick and Greco Fantasy Sports, and the fantasy football guys Lyle Conkiel and Kevin Moore. The Fantasy Sports Channel, only on Blog Talk Radio. It's a schedule you can bet on.
And we are back, folks. B-Spec Brian Spector, another edition of the NFL Spectacular. Some other NFL news, and this shocks me. This is just mind-boggling. Something I believe strongly, and I just mentioned it with the Tony Gonzalez aspect, I do not believe in paying big money to players over the age of 30, unless they've been very, very productive. And there are exceptions to the rule. Carolina Panthers extend the contract of Jake DeLome. I have no problem with an extension for DeLome. DeLome was in the final year of his contract. He was scheduled to count more than $11 million against the cap. That is just ridiculous in its own. But Jake DeLome isn't even one of the top 10 quarterbacks in the league. He's 34 years old and now has a new 5-year deal. His agent Rick Smith confirmed that it's worth $42.5 million, $20 million in guaranteed money. That's ridiculous. If you're Carolina and you're Hurley, the general manager, what the hell are you thinking? And they say, well, it gives a salary cap flexibility now. And then they say, well, Julius Peppers is going to count $16 million against the cap. Julius Peppers is 16 years – excuse me. Julius Peppers is 27 years old. He's a pass rusher. Every team needs a dominant pass rusher. 27 years old. That's the difference. Jake DeLome is 34 years old, has had major injury concerns in his career. Let's not forget how the season ended last year. He had 5 interceptions and a fumble in the playoffs against the Cardinals. Can anybody say, yeah, exactly. Jake DeLome choked when his team needed him most. Marty Hurley must be spending time with Michael Phelps. Because I don't know what bong he's hitting from or what kind of wacky tobacco he's smoking. But boy, is it strong. $20 million for Jake DeLome. Does anybody else find that a little strange? That makes no sense to me as far as I'm concerned. Love their running game, Carolina. D'Angelo Williams, Jonathan Stewart, Steve Smith, Musin Muhammad, Jordan Gross, Bradshaw tackle on the line, Ryan Khalil. I love Khalil's alignment. Jeff Otaw. Jake Delhomme is something on the offensive side of the ball in Carolina that makes me scratch my head. Because there are times he looks great, and then there are times you're like, what the heck were you thinking when you threw that football? Now, you're not going to be able to upgrade quarterback position if you're Carolina. I'm not saying you have to upgrade this year. You can't give that guy $20 million if he's 34. Especially after the playoff performance he just had. I know we got your team to a Super Bowl. But sometimes when you have a lot of weapons on the outside and you have a strong running game, you need a guy that can drop back, get the ball to the receivers, play to win the game, play to not lose it. Jake Delhomme is very hesitant in his decisions, and sometimes when he's very hesitant, that's when his mistakes have a tendency to come out. That was very interesting as far as I'm concerned. Gonzalez in Atlanta. Very interesting, folks. Very interesting. And it's a great move. It's an absolute great move. Stafford's going to go number one. And he should go number one. Tom Condon will get a deal done with the Detroit Lions. I would be shocked if a deal does not get done. I will put it to you that way. I would be very shocked if they don't get that deal done. I think Jason Smith should go number two to the St. Louis Rams. People say Jason Smith's a little cocky. I've spoken to Jason Smith numerous times, and I love his attitude. He has that swagger about him, that I'm going to line up on that left side of your line, and I'm going to hit the guy in front of me, and I'm going to keep my quarterback protected. I love Eugene Monroe, too. You can't go wrong if you're at the top of that draft getting one of the tackles. Jacksonville Jaguars want to trade down. Why they want to trade down? Because they realize that Mark Sanchez, the guy they covet, will not be there at pick number eight. That's a given. And there are going to be three or four teams trying to trade up in front of eight to get Sanchez. So they've thrown in the towel on that one. I don't blame them one bit. Jacksonville has some major issues. You give David Garrard all that money, and now you clearly want one of the top quarterbacks. I'm not saying Leftwich was the man, although he did play well in spurts. David Garrard, Mr. Careful quarterback, makes good decisions. He had a brutal year last year, and that was the year he got the big contract. Sometimes you have to be, what have you done for me lately in more than 1 year? A lot of guys are one-year wonders. And now you strain your cap when you give all that money to David Garrard, especially if you want to go after another quarterback right now. Very, very strange. What's on your mind, folks? Who's your team going to take? Who do you like? What player do you want to know more about? Give me a call, 347-945-6275 on the All Access Sports Line. 347-945-6275. We'll take a quick break. We'll get into more on the other side. Some teams I think might trade up. Teams that might trade down. Where's Brian Edwards going to end up? take a quick break. We'll get more into this on the other side. The All Access Sports Time 520.
More live fantasy sports radio than anyone on the planet.
Seven continuous hours of football, baseball, basketball, and hockey action each Monday through Friday.
Plus 7 hours of game day frenzy on Sunday.
30 shows in all from the best fantasy sportscasters in the business, like Craig Davis of FantasyFootball.com, the Audible Cecil Lamming, Paul Greco of Mel Nick and Greco Fantasy Sports, and the Fantasy Football guys Lyle Conkiel and Kevin Moore. The Fantasy Sports Channel, only on Blog Talk Radio.
It's a schedule you can bet on.
Attention fantasy football players.
Are you sick and tired of struggling year after year in your fantasy football league?
Well, my friend, those days are over.
FantasyFootball.com has all the tools you'll need to dominate your competition from August to December. Customized cheat sheet, draft predictor software, live advice, average draft position and auction value tool, and our 150-page draft guide.
We have it all.
Visit FantasyFootball.com today and sign up for our Platinum Package. It's the best value on the net. If you're serious about winning, we're the name of the industry.
FantasyFootball.com.
Tired of just getting by in your fantasy football league? Want to trump your friends in fantasy baseball? Then check out OwnersEdge.com, the website that provides its readers with everything a player needs to dominate their league. Our daily player rankings, extensive injury reports, and analysis on individual defensive players can help you become a winner. So why play against the competition when you can destroy it? And to top it off, OwnersEdge.com has added live advice, the latest and the greatest tool in fantasy sports. This add-on allows you, the customer, to contact our award-winning staff and ask every question you possibly can have about your fantasy team. If you're not sure which players to start or which should ride the bench, why not ask an expert on the spot? So instead of scraping together hints and tips, go to the source. Join us today at OwnersEdge.com.
We are back, NFL Spectacular. I'm B-Spec Brian Spector. A lot to get into. We're going to talk about players that are dropping, teams that might trade up, other teams that might trade down. And there is a man that knows a lot about that, and we're going to get into that right now. And that's from the NFL Draft Bible, Rick Saratella, is joining us now on the All Access Sports Line. Rick, how you doing, my friend?
Doing okay, Brian. Glad to be on. How are you?
I'm doing good, my friend. It's great to have you on the show as well. And are you as excited as I am? We're one day away and counting.
Yeah, not a lot of sleep going on right about now. So this is the 363-day grind we've been approaching. Now there's two more days to it.
And you know what, Rick? You have to be excited. Even if you're a general manager, this is the ultimate poker game. And I've had numerous guests on, and we've spoken about this all the time. And, you know how I feel about mock drafts. I've never really looked into them. I don't pay attention because now a lot of things are changing at the top of the board. Tom Condon negotiating with the Detroit Lions. And what people don't realize, Rick, is, and I said at the beginning of the show in the opening segment, last year Tom Condon got $34 million in change guaranteed to Matt Ryan, who went number 3 overall. Jake Long goes 1 overall to Miami, gets $30 million in change guaranteed. So Tom Condon now is calling the Lions, say, listen, this is the deal we want. You don't give us this deal, I'll still get my guy more guaranteed money, 2 or 3 picks lower. You find that very interesting, huh?
Yeah, I mean, well, the thing is, when you're playing with a franchise quarterback, you kind of have the leverage there, and you see that with Detroit. I mean, you have Aaron Curry pretty much saying he's willing to take about $10 million less in guaranteed money. And it just goes to show you how much the Detroit Lions do want Matt Stafford because they are still negotiating. And looks like Stafford's going to get about $40 to $45 million guaranteed.
And you know what this too, Rick, is you've known me a long time and I'm a big fan of Matt Stafford. I know it's different when you're dealing with a franchise quarterback. What does that say for a guy like Aaron Curry? You know what? I know they're prepared to take Aaron Curry number one, and Curry would take probably $26-27 million guaranteed, which I find that shocking, even though we both know it's a lot of money. But you're gonna get this kind of money, and I just don't see the Lions taking Curry. I think it's more of that ultimate poker game because they can't afford to invest that kind of money and an outside linebacker when they invested a lot of money in Ernie Sims only 2 years ago. Sometimes you have to disperse your money and invest it in the smarter ways, which is why I was saying if Aaron Curry happens to slip to Seattle at number 4 and KC passes him at 3, why Seattle won't do it? Because they already have millions invested in Lofa Tatupu, and they have millions invested in their other starting outside linebacker. So it's more of just dispersing your money, and you need to face the franchise. And I know the economic times are hard. They have to give Stafford the money. He's the player that
they need to face the franchise. They have to invest that money and go and get the quarterback.
No, absolutely, and just going back again to the fact that Curry's willing to take about $10 million less guaranteed tells you right there, the Detroit Lions, you know, a team that is really hurting financially in these economic times, a team that has not seen season ticket holders renew their season ticket subscription after that horrid 0-16 season. So I don't think Aaron Curry is the guy that's going to put, you know, fans back in the seats. And you make a good point about Kansas City. I mean, Pioli comes from that Bill Parcells, Bill Belichick philosophy. You do not pay top dollar for a linebacker. I couldn't argue with drafting him just because, you know, you stick a kid like that in between Zach Thomas and Mike Vrabel for a year or two in that 3-4 defense. Boy, what a great tutoring process that would be for him. But at the same time, there's a little bit of talk that Kansas City not really enamored with Glenn Dorsey. If Kansas City actually likes B.J. Raji enough, you could actually see Glenn Dorsey get traded on draft day and the Chiefs go with B.J. Raji at number 3.
And you said that earlier too, Rick. It doesn't matter how young a player is. If he doesn't fit your system, whether he's in year 1 or year 5, if they know they can trade you and get some value, I don't know what kind of value you're going to get for Glenn Dorsey. Didn't have a great rookie year. Did okay, but you know he was a top 5 pick last year. And what are you going to get for Dorsey now? A 3rd, 4th round pick? And the other thing with Curry, some people, some scouts have spoken to me and told me, you know what? He's a 4-3 outside linebacker. Can he play inside in a 3-4?
Yeah, well, with the logic with Dorsey would be, you know, trade him while he still does have some kind of stock, because another season like he had a year ago, and he'll have absolutely zero draft or zero tradability. But I think the thing is, you know, with the new regime taking over, they have been quick to show that they are not tied into these players that are here from the previous regime. And I think we saw that today again as they dealt Tony Gonzalez off to the Atlanta Falcons.
What do you think of that deal?
I think it's a win-win situation. Obviously, you know, Tony Gonzalez called it bittersweet, but let's be honest, he's been trying to get out of Kansas City for the last year or two. And while Kansas City has brought in some impact players and they'll be a better team, a more competitive team, they're still at least a year away, in my opinion, from really being a serious competitive team as far as Super Bowl contention goes. So I think Tony Gonzalez gets an opportunity to go to a team that's really in dire need of a pass-catching tight end. And now Matt Ryan has that, you know, underneath option, aside from Roddy White and Laurent Robinson deep, a couple other receivers they have over there. Now they have that underneath threat in Tony Gonzalez, a big red zone target. And for Kansas City, again, you know, we've seen the Bill Belichick disciples use the similar philosophy as New England and stockpile these second-round picks, these bargain picks, where you can get the players in the second round that make just as much, if not more, of an impact than a lot of first-rounders, and you get them on the cheap.
And you know what, Rick? I know Tony Gonzalez is over the age of 30, and I think the trade works well for both teams. But any concerns? I mean, I know he is over 30. Eventually, he's starting to slow down. And the Dolphins went from 1-15 to 11-5 and won the division. Why would it? And I know how the Belichick regime works. If you're Pioli, why not? He's not costing you a lot. Why not keep him around? How valuable Tony Gonzalez would be for Matt Castle in the running game. They have Larry Johnson shore up the offensive line. You have Dwayne Bowe on the outside. Any concerns about that?
Well, I think, first off, I think I don't want to say they accommodated Tony Gonzalez, but I do think that, you know, Gonzalez has wanted out of there. You don't want a guy that doesn't want to be on your team. And, yeah, he could definitely be, you know, make great contributions to Kansas City like he has done for the past 13 seasons or whatever it is now. But the fact is it's time to move on. It's time to part ways. Pioli wants to put his own stamp on the team. And at the same time, the Falcons know they're only getting a guy that's going to be on the top of his game for the next year or two. I mean, that's a two-year deal. I mean, after that, then you're going to really start to see the decline. But, yeah, I think Tony Gonzalez still has a lot of good football left in him.
No, and there's somebody I really wanted to talk to you about. You know who that is, right?
Donald Brown.
No, not yet. I'm going to get to him, but there's somebody else we're missing. Come on, man. You know who I'm talking about. Come on, you got any guesses for me, my friend? We definitely have to talk about T. Harvin.
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny that you bring up Percy Harvin. I mean, I just got done doing a revised mock draft that we released on the NFLDraftBible.com a few minutes ago. Percy Harvin, a guy probably that's going to slide out of the first round now. Obviously, we've heard about his off-the-field problems, and now there's some talk about this foot. It may need some surgery. I believe it was one of the New York papers, whether it was the Daily News or New York Times, I apologize for not remembering, but they did come out with a story about Harvin's foot, and I think his people have since shot down that report. But definitely not a good week for Mr. Percy Harvin. And as I said, after just doing a recent mock draft, there's a guy that's going to probably slide into the second round, and players like Hakeem Nicks and Darius Hayward-Bey and even a Kenny Britt now probably gets selected ahead of Percy Harvin.
And you know what's so funny, Rick? I don't know what's the matter with these kids. You know, you're going to make millions of dollars. And Percy Harvin has always had problems, character issues. You know, he hangs out with the wrong crowd. All you do is you cost yourself millions of dollars with smoking marijuana right before the combine. That important. Isn't there a time to grow up? I mean, personally, he's got a great build. He's a good receiver. There's a lot of things he can do. I'm still very hesitant. I don't know how effective he's going to be at the next level. But what has to be going through his mind to be doing something like this right before the NFL Combine?
Well, I think reality probably sets in when he sees where he gets drafted. I'm sure in his head he believes he's a playmaker, and any competitive athlete you know, should feel good about their talent. And, you know, deep down inside, if you ask any of these guys, while they may not admit it, of course they think they're going to go higher than they really are. So I don't know if reality is actually set in on Percy Harvin yet. I think it will on draft day. And, you know, if I'm Percy Harvin, I think you got to use this as a wake-up call. And, yeah, you've gotten off to a bad start, but you know what? We all make mistakes, and myself included. So what do you have to do? You have to pick yourself up. And, you know, we've seen in the past that a lot of players have made their payday on that second contract. So, you know, if he could put it together and get his act together, you know, he can still earn a great payday in his career.
And that's true. And if he goes in the second round, Rick, he's probably at the point where he was going to get drafted to where he probably will get drafted. Probably going to cost himself about $5 million in guaranteed money.
Sure.
I mean, you have to wonder. And like you said, Kenny Britt is probably going to jump up. And I have Kenny Britt as a first-rounder. I like Kenny Britt from Rutgers, Hayward-Bey. I mean, one of the teams I was mentioning earlier, the Raiders. You know how Al Davis is. He just loves to trade away picks, and he's enamored with speed. And here I am figuring the Raiders have pick number 40 in the second round. I'm figuring they're going to be players. They're going to trade up back into the first round and try to get one of those receivers. And I think Darius Hayward-Bey is a guy that Al Davis is absolutely in love with.
Yeah, I think you're going to see some of these receivers go higher than people are projecting. You know, I think Crabtree and Macklin actually go 6 and 7. I actually like Crabtree going to Cincinnati as a possible Hushmanzada replacement. 7, I like Macklin to the Raiders. But if they do pass him up, then, hey, maybe they do trade back into the latter part of the round. I know Philadelphia is a team with two first-round picks that would definitely be willing to trade out. Maybe at 21, you could trade back up in there and get a Hayward Bay. I actually have
Philly has one draft pick. Philly has one pick in the first round. They traded
okay,
the other
I apologize.
Two.
But 21, you know, that's a spot where, you know, Philadelphia would – be willing to trade that. I think if Hayward Bay is there, that's a potential play. And I actually have Hakeem Nicks going 26 to Baltimore, where I think Joe Flacco is in dire need of a playmaker over there in Baltimore. That was actually one possible destination for Percy Harvin, but it looks like, you know, Hicks at 26 to the Ravens. And then I like Kenny Britt going number 29 to the Giants, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Giants do hold off until the second round to draft a wide receiver.
And that's something I've been saying, too. This draft is so receiver deep that, you know, Oakland taking Jeremy Maclin, personally, I'm not a big fan of Jeremy Maclin. Maclin played in a system in Missouri where he played in space. Didn't really get off the jam that much. And he's more of a slot receiver, you know. And meaning Maclin, he's got a very thin waist. Very, very light on the legs. I mean, one hard hit, Macklin's be down for the count. So I don't know how big of a fan you are of Jeremy Maclin. I'm a big fan of Hakeem Nicks. You know, Maclin and Harvin, I'm not big fans of. But like I said, Nicks, Britt, and you know what, Rick? Those receivers that are going the second round, people can say whatever they want about how the success rate of Florida wide receivers. I love Lewis Murphy, Florida. Joaquin Iglesias, Oklahoma, Brian Robiski from Ohio State.
Sure.
I mean, there are a lot of receivers that are going the second round that I don't feel there's any massive drop-off between those guys in the first round outside of maybe Nicks, Crabtree, and you could possibly argue Kenny Britt. So for a team that needs a receiver, why not address another need in the first round, and let those receivers drop it in the second round, and you can still get your receiver in the second round and pay him less money.
No, I agree with you 100%. And let's not forget guys like Michael Thomas of Arizona, Jarrett Dillard of Rice. You know, those are two guys. Also, Quan Cosby from Texas, a guy that's really been rising here late leading up to the draft. Quan Cosby actually cracking into some people's top 100 overall. I think he'll go somewhere in the third or fourth round, but I agree with you 100%. Another guy we're going to talk to tomorrow on our small school spotlight show, Ramses Barden from Cal Poly. You know, you talk about a guy that could be a possible replacement for Plaxico Burress. Like I said, if the Giants do pass up the opportunity to draft a wide receiver in the first round, a guy like Ramses Barden, 6'4", 230 pounds, runs a 4.5 40, could be available to the Giants at the end of the second or third round.
You can see Ramses Barden going that high. I thought Ramses Barden was more of a fourth round guy, not very fast, could play the split end. I heard he's about 6'6", 240. That's what I've heard from scouts. So he does have a lot of size, but is he a guy that can get down the field? Is he more of that possession underneath guy? Does he have that? Does he play faster than what he really is?
Well, I think you'd be surprised at how high Ramses Barden goes. And again, when you have that kind of size, and I know he's not a speed burner, but, you know, he does have that 4.5 40 speed. And, you know, at 6'5", he's definitely gained a lot of attention traveling, you know, across the country on some of these private workouts with Mark Sanchez. He's actually been Sanchez's caddy, so to speak, on some of these private workouts, along with Patrick Turner. Sanchez has actually done Barden a favor and brought him along on these private workouts. So a lot of teams got an opportunity to see Ramses Barden up close and personal. Now, there was some talk about his knees before the season started. He checked out fine medically. And, again, I think Ramses Barden is a guy flying under the radar right now.
Very interesting. Hey, Rick, I want to pause for a quick break. Can you hang with us for a couple of minutes?
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks again, Rick. All right, folks, we'll take a quick break. I'm D-Spec Brian Spector, NFL Spectacular, here on the All Access Football Network. Rick and I will be back in just a moment. We're going to take a quick break.
pause, pay a couple of bills. We'll be back in just a moment. All Access Football Network Sports Time is 5:40.
More live fantasy sports radio than anyone on the planet.
7 continuous hours of football, baseball, basketball, and hockey action each Monday through Friday.
Plus 7 hours of game day frenzy on Sunday.
30 shows in all from the best fantasy sportscasters in the business, like Craig Davis of FantasyFootball.com, the Audible Cecil Lanning, Paul Greco of Melnick and Greco Fantasy Sports, and the Fantasy Football guys Lyle Conkiel and Kevin Moore. The Fantasy Sports Channel, only on Blog Talk Radio.
It's a schedule you can bet on.
B-Spec, Brian Spector, back with you. The NFL Spectacular here on All Access Football Radio. And joining me on the All Access Sports Line is Rick Saratella from the NFL Draft Bible. You can catch his terrific work. His mock draft is up. He does an absolutely terrific job bringing you draft coverage year-round. And the draft is one day away. And, Rick, we were just talking about Ramses Barton. What other small school guys do you have that could go higher in this draft come Saturday and Sunday?
Well, I think a lot of the small school guys are going to come on day two of the draft. I'm not even sure that a small school guy even gets selected in the first round this year. But when you look at the running back position, there's a couple guys that are definitely going to make an impact. I mean, when you talk about Rashard Jennings from Liberty, 6'1", 230 pounds, had an excellent scouting combine, definitely on a lot of scouts' radars. Bernard,
he's a terrific running back.
Yeah, I like Jennings a lot. And I think, you know, in the NFL with these two-back systems, Jennings is a perfect change-of-pace guy. Another guy that's going to get consideration is Bernard Scott from Abilene Christian. You know, again, these two-back systems, some of these small-school guys are guys that can come in, help ease the workload, take 10, 15 carries off of some of these featured backs. You look over to the offensive line, and you got some guys – again, in the middle rounds, a guy like T.J. Lang from Eastern Michigan, never heard of him? Look for him to go in the fourth and fifth round. Joel Bell from Furman, another late-round pick that could be a potential starter at the next level. So, again, you're not going to see guys going early on, but in these mid-round picks on the defensive side of the ball, Jerron Gilbert, San Jose State, he probably finds himself somewhere in the late second round, possibly a day two guy, and then the Lawrence Sidbury, the Richmond defense, and another guy that could go in the second round. But aside from Gilbert and Sidbury, you're not going to hear many small school names called on day one.
And Rick, you know, when we look at all the players in this draft, and we're looking up and down all the positions, one position, and you know, every year there are always certain positions that seem very thin compared to other positions. Like this year, we can say wide receiver looks relatively deep. A position that isn't very deep as far as I'm concerned, if you're a team that needs a defensive tackle, you know, you're going to name, of course, B.J. Raji, who's the elite in this year's class, Ron Brace, there's Terrence Taylor, Sammy Lee Hill from Stillman College. The defensive tackles seem to look a little weak in this draft. You wouldn't think so?
I would agree with that, and I would say that's kind of true for almost every draft. Rarely do you get defensive tackles graded highly just because it is a tough position to find. You're talking about a guy that needs to be 300, 330 pounds and agile. You know, it's trying to find a center in the NBA. There's just not enough of those guys walking on the planet right now. So, I mean, you mentioned some guys. I think some other guys that may go, you know, late second, even third round, a guy like Evander Hood from Missouri. Corvey Irvin from Georgia, another guy making some noise who could go in the third and fourth round. But overall, I mean, you talk about just nose tackles. You know, Ron Brace is probably the only defensive tackle there that's a true nose tackle. And, you know, again, it's just hard to find these guys. So I don't think you'll see a lot of guys going in the first round. I think you got B.J. Raji and Perrier Jerry from Mississippi. After that, I think, you know, Jerron Gilbert, Ron Brace, even a guy like Ziggy Hood could find themselves in the second round, but I don't think more than five defensive tackles on day one.
And you know what it is, you have a lot of teams that are trying to transition from a 4-3 to that 3-4 defense. They want that big-time defensive tackle that can take up blocks, let the linebackers roam around free. That's what makes it a little tougher. There aren't a lot of guys that fit in that 3-4 defensive scheme.
Yeah, and I think, you know, there's, I think it's something like 12 or 14 teams now in the NFL are actually playing that 3-4 alignment. So when you think about it, you know, there's 32 teams. If 14 teams are now playing 3-4, that's half the league. That's a pretty large increase from just two seasons ago. There was probably maybe 6 to 8 teams playing the 3-4 defense. But it is a copycat league, and, you know, the more successful teams usually – other NFL teams try to emulate that and copy that, and we see that, you know, the two-back running back system is another trend that's caught on lately. So, you know, this league works in cycles. Now you're seeing the wildcat offense. You know, this is something that teams were doing 100 years ago, and it works in cycles, and that's just the way it goes.
And can we potentially squash the rumors of Payson Jackson going to Kansas City at 3?
Yeah, I saw that in Sports Illustrated. Peter King, I love you, but, you know, Tyson Jackson, I just don't think at number 3 is realistic. I do think that a lot of teams do like him. He's another guy that's rising up the draft board rapidly as we approach the draft here. And, you know, a lot of NFL teams like the fact that he is a proven commodity as defensive end in a 3-4 defensive scheme. And, you know, I did catch some of the show earlier when you talked about you don't pay a guy, you know, top dollar, top 3 overall kind of money, you know, to just open up passing lanes for other players. You know, you pay your sack masters that kind of money. And Tyson Jackson, I think, is possibly going to emerge as, you know, maybe the top defensive end in this draft. I do think he'll go in the top 15.
No, I agree, and I love him as a player, Rick. I really do. I mean, he's going to be a great player at the next level, but you have to think, the 3rd overall pick, you're going to give him $27 million in guaranteed money. You're going to pay that to a guy that's going to get you 5 sacks and take up blocks while other people roam around free. It doesn't make sense financially.
You know, talking about teams switching to the 3-4 defense, you know, we have him sliding into Denver at number 12, and wouldn't that be a good building block to help implement that 3-4 defense in Denver?
Maybe their head coach, Josh McDaniels, will play. He's only about 17, 18 years old. So maybe he can help their team out, you know?
Yeah, I thought he was a ball boy at first.
You know, I thought he was the coach's kid. I thought he was the one that was going out and giving the Gatorade to some of the other players. So you got Matthew Stafford now going 1 to Detroit, right?
Yeah, from all indications, you know, the contract is still being worked out, but it's going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of $80 million, $40 million guaranteed. You know, we discussed it earlier. If the Lions really wanted to save the money and get a contract done and sign Aaron Curry, they could have already. So I think their intent with selecting Matthew Stafford, number 1, and, you know, I think after that first pick, it gets interesting, but, you know, the NFL actually released an announcement today stating that if the Lions do announce a contract with the number 1 overall pick for the first time in NFL history, the NFL is actually going to allow the number 2 overall team, which in this case would be the St. Louis Rams, to actually begin open contract talks with the second player in the NFL draft.
And I like that idea, Rick. I really do. Because you know what? If you know the first guy's getting locked up, why not go ahead and lock up the second guy? It speeds the draft process a little bit. You have to think 4 or 5 minutes they're going to announce Stafford, 4 to 5 minutes announce the second guy. It speeds things up for everybody. You know what I mean?
Well, the point becomes, you know, how many teams do you exactly allow to begin negotiations? Because if the Rams then announce a contract, I think the Kansas City Chiefs are saying, well, hey, wait a minute. Well, why, you know, the first two guys are locked up. Why can't we begin negotiating with our player?
Yeah. Yeah, and that's right on target. 110% accurate. Now, the wild card, Rick, is Mark Sanchez. Which team is to trade up for him, because you know there's going to be a lot of dealing and dealing, and I want to get your opinion on Mark Sanchez. I want to pause again for a break. You can hang with me again, Rick?
Absolutely.
All right. All Access Football Sports time is 5:50. Joining me on the All Access Sports line is Rick Saratella from the NFL Draft Bible. You can catch his terrific work. I'm B-Spec Brian Spector, the NFL Spectacular. We'll be back in just a minute. I'll be back on the other side with Rick. We'll take a quick break again. All Access Football Sports time is 5:50.
More live fantasy sports radio than anyone on the planet.
Seven continuous hours of football, baseball, basketball, and hockey action each Monday through Friday.
Plus 7 hours of game day frenzy on Sunday.
30 shows in all from the best fantasy sportscasters in the business, like Craig Davis of FantasyFootball.com, the Audible Cecil Lammy, Paul Greco of Melnick and Greco Fantasy Sports, and the Fantasy Football guys Lyle Conkiel and Kevin Moore. The Fantasy Sports Channel, only on Blog Talk Radio.
It's a schedule you can bet on.
And we're back. Brian Spector. I'm joined by Rick Saratella from the NFL Draft Bible. Now, Rick, the Mark Sanchez sweepstakes is underway. And I call it a sweepstakes. You know what? He's not a better quarterback than Stafford. I don't care what anybody says. One-year starter. Jacksonville comes out and says, all right, we're going to trade back. And everyone's saying, why are you going to trade back? They know that Sanchez will not be there at 8, because more than likely there's going to be some team trading up. Or if both offensive tackles happen to be gone, then Seattle's probably going to draft Sanchez, whether to keep him and replace him with Hasselbeck or sign him and then trade the other team and try and get some extra compensation. What do you think is going to happen with Mark Sanchez?
Yeah, I think you hit it. I think the big Mark Sanchez mystery actually gets resolved quite early in the draft, and I think it ends right there at that number 4 pick with Seattle. A lot of people, you know, don't think Seattle will take Mark Sanchez. I don't know. I tend to disagree. I think it would be good for Mark Sanchez to be groomed for a season or two, much like Steve McNair was, much like Carson Palmer was. So I actually think that the Mark Sanchez fit in Seattle would be good for him. And, you know, you take a look, you know, you have a new head coach taking over and Jim Mora Jr., a guy who's still relatively young for a head coach, but, you know, is in his second stint as a head man in the NFL, and he knows the burden and the pressure and what it takes to groom a number one pick and deal with that. You know, he had Marcus Vick in Atlanta. So I think, you know, with the new regime there, a new head coach coming in, still relatively young, why not draft a quarterback of your future and let them grow together?
Well, Rick, let me make this point really fast on Sanchez. Why not trade down if you can get some good compensation? I know Hasselbeck has had the back injuries, but, I mean, he's 34 years old. You still get something out of him, and there's clearly a need in Seattle on the offensive line. Walter Jones is not a spring chicken anymore. If Eugene Monroe or Jason Smith happen to be there, it doesn't matter who your quarterback is. If you can't protect him, the guy's going to get hit, and he's going to get hit hard. Why not take one of those tackles? Because that also goes in next year. If you know it's going to take longer than a year to get the team back on the right track, next year you got Tim Tebow, you got Sam Bradford, you got Colt McCoy, you got Jevon Snead from Mississippi. You arguably have 4 good quarterbacks on paper that are coming out next year. If you know you're going to struggle and you're going to have another top 10 pick, why not get the offensive tackle, address some of the needs? You know Hasselbeck can still play a couple more years and get your quarterback next year.
Well, I don't disagree with that logic. I actually agree with you, Brian, but I don't think Seattle believes that they're not going to compete this year. I think Seattle believes that they are a team that can contend. I think they are a team that thinks, you know, with the addition of T.J. Houshmandzadeh, can really take it to the next level. And I do believe that they also feel like if they have to start Seneca Wallace for 8 or 9 games again next season, their season is pretty much over.
No, that's a good point. I never looked at it from that perspective. But, you know, sometimes, Rick, you have to be a team and you have to look and say, all right, we have a lot of needs. I don't see Seattle competing this year. You know, Hasselbeck comes back. Who's going to run the football? Julius Jones? The offensive line has holes, and the ones that don't have holes are clearly old. So if you can't protect your quarterback and you can't run the football, And the guy has no time to throw the football. It doesn't matter. By the time Manzada, Deion Branch, all these guys get downfield and get out of their breaks, the quarterback's already on his back.
No, I don't disagree with you, Brian. There's a reason why they're picking number four overall. But again, you know, if you talk to the people in Seattle, I don't get the impression that they're in a rebuilding phase. I get the impression that they're going to be, you know, gearing up for a run next season, and they truly believe that they can compete.
And you know, in this business, I guess you have to be confident, believe you can compete. I mean, listen, I'll be honest. Last year, when the Dolphins were 1-15, I figured there's no way. Just start adding pieces, and you know what? 11-5. There's so much parity in today's NFL. Things can change, and things can change in a hurry.
Absolutely, and you know, since we're talking quarterbacks, I would definitely like to, you know, talk about the next quarterback, and that would be Josh Freeman. I think is the quarterback that teams will actually be scrambling, trying to trade up for, because if Sanchez does go at number four, that ends, you know, a lot of teams' hopes of trying to acquire that potential quarterback. And when you look at this year's draft class, the other guy that really stands out to scouts is Kansas State quarterback Josh Freeman. You know, a lot of people feel like he'll go in that 17-20 range, where you got the Jets and Tampa Bay, and I think Minnesota's around that area as well. But I actually think the Washington Redskins have made the bed to finally part ways with Jason Campbell, another guy that you're hearing may get traded come draft day, possibly in a three-way deal involving Brady Quinn. But I think the Washington Redskins, writing is on the wall with Jason Campbell. I think they'll select Josh Freeman, number 12 overall, and just deal Jason Campbell away. And you know, Jim Zorn, if there's anyone that knows a thing or two about quarterbacks, it is Jim Zorn. He was a quarterback's coach before he came to the Redskins. Actually, he was hired to be the Redskins' quarterback's coach before the Redskins lost out on a couple of head coaching candidates they were going after and actually fell in love with Jim Zorn and gave him the reins. So I was happy with Jason Campbell. And I think the Redskins will be the team that selects Josh Freeman. If they don't, there is going to be a mad dash.
You still there, Rick?
For his services.
I think we just lost Rick. But I want to thank Rick Saratella from the NFL.